Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
She's got a lot of things on her mind to talk about,
talk about now.
She's taking care of her voice, so you know that she's not gonna shout
now. She's not gonna shout.
So get your headphones ready to hear what it's all about.
Now,
have no fun, cause your Trippin's podcast comes out today. We'll have no fun, cause your Trippin's podcast comes out today.
No Fun, the Jen Kirkman Podcast, episode 367, the Christmas episode. Now, I don't even really know what that means, but that I guess that's where we are. So if this is your first episode, welcome. I think it'll be pretty similar to a normal episode. I'm just going to probably stay on the topic of Christmas and family. And again, I'm Jen Kirkman. I am a comedian. You may have seen my Netflix specials, I'm Gonna Die Alone and I Feel Fine, and Just Keep Living. This, however, is not a comedy special. I hope you find it interesting. Is it always funny? No, because it's off the top of my head. I'm just talking to you with some, you know, ideas for what I want to talk about, but I'm just talking to you like I'm a friend who won't let you get a word in. And I hope you find that amusing. I always say this is a great podcast to listen to while you're doing the dishes or you need to hear someone talking as you drive over a scary bridge. But this is where I go sometimes funny, sometimes serious, always sincere. No Fun, the Jen Kirkman Podcast. Been doing this for 7 years now. It used to go under a different name, I Seem Fun. But here we are. Here we are with No Fun. Thanks for being here. What am I going to talk about this week? Well, I asked you all to write me letters about traditions that you are not able to do this year due to COVID, maybe some new traditions that you have, whether you like them or not. And I'm going to tell a little story about my family. Sorry, for those of you listening, I'm sitting in my living room. I'm not in my home studio like a profesh because I do a Patreon. There's a video version and I'm sitting next to a Christmas tree and there's all kinds of holiday lights. And I just hoisted my fat ass onto my living room chair. And I know you go, you're not fat. If you're fat, what does that make me? Well, you know what? I feel like a fat fuck because I've gained 13 pounds total in quarantine for 15, I think. And no, it wasn't quite 15, but I've gained like, at first it was 8. And then I was like horrified by that. And then I tried to lose weight. And by tried, I mean like thought about. It's not like I did something that made me gain more. What I did was keep eating more and exercising less because I'm depressed. I'm depressed. Like I'm actually just depressed about not, you know, being in my normal life. So, you know, it's just like, I guess I'm just going to take a little comfort in food right now. But I just not at my normal level. So, you know, I'm going to be like the basic bitch who's like going to fix that in the new year. I'm not going to like go nuts though, you know, the last week of the year, like eating whatever I want. And the good news is this is the best part for those of you who used to work in any kind of office and are not currently due to the pandemic, is those baskets of food that come in during the holidays, food, 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 and you're eating like that and blah, blah, blah. And so I, you know, I went to Trader Joe's the other day and I got some like fun coffee cakes and things like that and actually didn't end up liking them. So I tossed them. Like they were gross. Like I got the wrong thing. And then I'm not probably going to go back because COVID is spiking in LA. And I don't know. The grocery store makes me nervous. I read some article that people in South Korea got it from an elevator button. That was earlier in the pandemic. And I didn't like that at all because I thought we couldn't get it from things like that. But they contact traced. And anyway, this is not what the episode is about. This episode is about Christmas, not COVID. But really, the two go hand in hand this year. Oh my God, I have a feeling that all my friends are traveling, but they know not to tell me. I posted on Twitter, if anybody here is the one friend in their group that has been actually sheltering at home in terms of not socializing. You know, I know a lot of people have to work, but in terms of like, you know, them asking, hey, do you want to go to a restaurant? Hey, do you want to meet at blah, blah's house? Hey, do you want to blah, 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 blah? I always say no, people just stopped asking. And now I think they don't tell me because they think I might judge them, which I'm totally judging everybody. Completely I'm judging. So I can see, you know, I silently judge. I no longer tell people not to do things because they would get mad. There was some tensions. Anyway, I'm still in the intro section of the podcast. I mean, really, what is happening? I am part of the Misfit Toys Comedy Collective. That is a year-round title. It just so happens that we are right smack in the middle of Christmas. Anyway, brought to you by Jimmy Pardo and Matt Belknap of the Never Not Funny podcast. The other podcasts on the collective, Never Not Funny, Doug Loves Movies, Jonah Ray's Let Me Watch Your Movie With You, Mike Schmidt's The 40-Year-Old Boy, and The Todd Glass Show. So check them all out. The show link will be in the link to the collective will be in the show notes. And again, as I mentioned, I have a Patreon. What a great way to support me as I'm not on tour in 2021, even with a vaccine. It is too hard to plan a tour and figure out what's going to be happening when and blah, blah, blah. And I just don't feel right about it. So this is my tour. $5 a month gets you 4 videos a month plus extra bonuses. And each level goes up from there. But I think you will really like it. If you got an extra $5 a month, a few hundred more people sign up, then I am coasting. I am coasting in 2021. So be one of those couple hundred peeps. Anyway, so let's begin. So I am not going back to visit my family at all this year. It has been difficult. There would have been other moments I was supposed to go visit my family. Not, I don't just see them on holidays. And so I'll tell you a little story about talking to my mom the other day. Right after these words.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Now, I don't know if there was just a commercial. There may not have been. You might have just heard me say right after these words and then 3 seconds later go, I don't know if there was a commercial. But I, for some reason, decided this week to pause and actually say right after these words. But they might not stick a commercial in. Okay, anyway. Oh, God. My parents are 82. They do not act 82. Yeah, they're a little slower. knees creak, but, you know, they've been to the casino twice during COVID. I was very angry both times. I would call and try to scare my mother. Oh my God, they say COVID can go through your mask at casinos. Jennifer Stubby is scaring me. Good. I want you to be scared. You know, my parents will pull that thing. Well, we don't have many good years left. I go, listen, do you want to die peacefully in your sleep between now and 18 years from now? Or do you want to die alone choking on your last breath in a hospital? Because that's what's going to happen if you get COVID. So I know they're being good. I mean, they've been good. They believe that there's, I can't imagine. Oh God, I don't know what I would do if I was related in my immediate family. Who knows what's going on in my extended. I don't check anything. I don't know what they're thinking, but I know one cousin has emailed me this year. Actually, she emailed me to get a copy of my anxiety PDF. Hey, if any of you are having anxiety and you're like, well, you know what? I got some time off on Christmas. I'll read some stuff. Send me an email, anxietybitesweekly@gmail.com. Just write anxiety help. I'll send you a PDF file full of easy breezy, tons of facts about anxiety. Some of it are personal stories from me, but most of it is links to like actual facts and things that therapists have written and book and podcast episode recommendations, just tons and tons of free stuff, suggestions on every level. So anyway, and I'll send it to you. So send me an email. You'll get an answer back from me within 24 hours. It'll literally just be me cut and pasting the form email that I send to everybody who asks for help. Don't be creepers. If you do, you will not get the packet and I will just delete your email and think you're a fucking freak. Oh, there was one guy the other day who sent me an email. Don't worry, I'll get back to the COVID. This one guy writes to anxietybitesweekly@gmail.com and writes, hey, I'd like to pay you. And he says, hey, want to help a 52-year-old guy with his dating profile online? No, I don't. What? I've never done online dating in my life. And I talked about it on an episode recently where I said I did in this spirit of moving the energy along, join some, but I hate them. I'm probably terrible at it and I never check them. But I'm not here available to, he's writing the anxiety email address going, hey, I just thought it might be fun. You can help me like write funny things for my profile. I go, I don't write funny things for hire like that. What? Have some respect for yourself and for me. So I just wrote back, I suggest this is something you do with people you actually know in your real life. And if you don't, get some friends. And this is so inappropriate. It's not going to go well for you if you act like a freak on the Anxiety Bites Weekly Gmail email. Anyway, so I'm just glad people in my immediate family believe that COVID is real. Oh my God. Can you imagine? But I'm not flying home. There was a moment where I had an Airbnb on hold and I had a flight on hold. Or I'd paid for a flight, but it's JetBlue, so it just gets refunded back into my travel bank. You don't need these details. But I just, you know what? I'm nosy. So when people say something in passing, I had a flight on hold, I would stop and think, what do you mean you had a flight on hold? What airline lets you hold a flight for months? And I would want to know. And then if someone said I bought a ticket, I would think, ooh, was that refundable? I would want to know. So I'm telling you, JetBlue is my airline of choice from flying from LA to Boston and back and LA to New York and back. And what I love about JetBlue, and I think it's because I'm there in their true blue level because I fly it so much, but it really doesn't take much to get to be whatever they call it, is you buy a ticket. Obviously, you can build up a lot of points. And if you buy a ticket using points or money, you can cancel it within an hour of the flight and the money just goes back into your travel bank or your points go back into your points. I mean, that's it. No penalties. And, you know, I mean, yeah, would I rather a refund of my credit card? Sure. But I know I'll fly it again someday and then it'll be like a free flight by then. So anyway, I had that stuff on hold because, you know, I put it on hold in August because I wasn't sure. how this country was going to go with the pandemic. I didn't know if people were going to listen and actually not dick around over the summer and in the fall. But I knew the winter will be the darkest months ahead of COVID. I knew it. And I just thought, well, maybe if it's like really, really, really wrangled. And it's, you know, I had literally one of those gas masks that makes you look like an aardvark. I have one of those. I had a painter's uniform. I'm not kidding. I have, you know, obviously gloves and all the things. And that's how I was going to fly. And I was going to fly in one of those pods on JetBlue. That is their version of first class. Listen, that's how I fly once a year. That's my thing. And so I was going to lock myself in a pod with a gas mask on. And then I was going to go to an Airbnb where I was going to shut myself in for 14 days and then go see my family after testing negative for COVID. And then as more and more things went on, I realized, you know, that's a lot to do. It's a lot of money to spend. It's also, what if I can't get a test? And what if the test, like, it's no. And also this notion that, oh, you know, I'll just quarantine for 14 days. Well, if I get COVID, it's also like, I can't get COVID either. No, and then of course, now we are where we are with the pandemic. You know, things started coming up on Thanksgiving and the CDC said, don't travel. I mean, I already knew by then I wasn't traveling, but it's just like, now it's really just no, no, no. But, you know, of course I miss my family and, you know, my sister and I love the movie Elf. I mean, my whole family loves it, but we always quote it and go, and then we're going to snuggle and then we're going to, you know, whatever the line is. And so I made a joke to my mom a couple weeks ago on the phone. I was like, and then we're going to snuggle. And she goes, I would love to snuggle with you. Wouldn't that be nice? You need that for your mental health. You need it. You need that connection. I was like, oh, I was kidding, but I would snuggle you. Mommy, mommy. No, I just said I would. I would love to just curl up in a chair and just hug everybody. And I'm a hugger, you know. So I'm really sad. But I'm okay. I'm not, there's nothing anyone can do to console me. I'm just going to take pleasure in the things that I like doing, you know? You know, I've spent Christmas time kind of not, you know, by myself or not going home before, for reasons either I've been sick or I've had to work, or I've been exhausted or something. And, you know, I just make a plan to see them a few weeks later, a couple weeks before. It's not a big deal. But this is the first time I will feel like I wanted to go back to Massachusetts and there was something stopping me known as COVID. I heard someone, I already said this last week, but someone said COVID. What's happening? So talking to my mom the other day, and my dad is just wild about the vaccine. You know, because they'll probably get it sooner than most people because they're elderly. And they've got a neighbor who's a doctor. Now, first, my mom didn't like this woman. The doctor is having parties again. And I feel like she's just saying, fuck you to old people. What? She's having parties, Jennifer. And they're all outside without their masks, talking and drinking and laughing. Now, I don't know. I don't know how accurate this is. I don't know how close they are. I mean, can she really see if they're wearing masks? She'd have to be standing on the porch. You know, the neighbor is kind of, it's across the street, but it's like diagonal and the porch. I don't know if you'd be able to see. But that's my mom's story. You know, it's so rude. It really is. I feel so forgotten by younger people. And then she's like, oh, by the way, speaking of that doctor, she said, If our doctors are not able to get us the vaccine by April, that we should ask her and she'll get it for us. I go, what do you hate her for? You better kiss her fucking ass. Now, I don't know what's going on with that doctor being able to do that. Hang on one second. I have to return an email. It's from my producer of this very podcast. Sorry, this is classic no fun, returning an email. Whoops. That should not be in there if you could Delete. Thank you. Okay. So anyway, I'm talking to my mom. My dad's all excited. He's all about the vaccine. Jennifer sends me an email. Okay, Vegas next year. I'm going to look at tickets for April, May. Then 2022, the Greenskeepers Association in San Diego. I mean, he'll be 84 at that point. I'm like, Dad, I can't go to Vegas in April or May because I'm not going to, the vaccine will not be available to me yet. I do have pre-existing conditions and I think I'll get it before like totally normal, healthy people, but probably not much, I doubt that much sooner. I don't know. See what my pulmonologist says. So my dad's like, oh, well, I gotta travel again. I gotta live my life. They didn't travel that much. They'd go to Vegas once a year and somewhere else, you know, like wherever his greenskeeper thing was. So, well, they would travel a little. They know they would go to the casino and, you know, they drove to Vermont once to see me do a gig and, you know. So I just said, I get it, Dad. I get it. I'm a traveler. So I'm texting with my sister and she tells me that, my dad called her and he's like, you know, we only got about eight good years left of life. She's like, oh my God, that's so sad. I don't know if it didn't dawn on her before that. I mean, I think about people dying every 10 minutes. That's just like time to think about people in my family dying. You know, that's a game I've been playing during the pandemic. Hope nobody dies before I see them again. But I feel so robbed of this time with them. And so anyway, when I called my mom and I said, what's going on? You and Dad talking about death? She goes, oh, well, no. And I said, you know, my parents live in a house that they don't own. Came with my dad's job. And there's stairs. There's stairs going up the porch and there's stairs going up to the bedrooms. And I said, well, do you think you guys will... You know, it's not like they can sell it and get a profit, but they have saved. I said, can you think of like get an apartment or something or a condo or just something where you don't have those stairs? I don't know, Jen. I don't even want to think about it. I go, but do you guys ever think about your future? We don't, honestly. I mean, they're like fucking Gen X slackers. I go, I worry so much about you guys falling down the stairs. And my mother goes, no, don't worry about that. I did fall up the stairs, though, the other day. I go, well, that's just as bad. I worry about that, too. Oh, Jen, it's fine. Don't even think about it. And I'm like, but this is my turn. It's my turn to worry about what my parents are doing. But I don't know. And she said, well, you know, your father, he says now he wants to be cremated and sprinkled under this tree in the backyard. And I said, okay, well, is that what you want to do? And then he said, no, I take it back. I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I said, wait, are you guys afraid to talk about death? Well, we don't like it. I go, but you have a will, right? Well, we have it somewhere. I think it's locked up at the bank, but I don't know. We're going to all have to take care of this if you guys die. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where anything is. Your father doesn't know anything. As I go, what is it going on over there? She goes, now we have some grave plots in, you know, where they live, where they grew up, you know, northern Massachusetts, like closer to New Hampshire. She's like, my father's there, my mother's there, my brother, one of your cousins, he'll be buried with the family. And, you know, and then there's a plot for me and Ronnie. But I don't know. I mean, if we die here, how are we going to get the bodies up there? I mean, they're not going to fly like we're turning into angels. And I go, I don't know. Doesn't some freezer truck drive you guys up there or something? Well, I don't know. And I go, well, someone figure this out, please. This is the phone call we're having. I said, well, we should write this down. I said, I want to write a will too. But I'm afraid if I do, people will think I'm suicidal. You don't just suddenly be like, hey, everyone, just want to let you know what to do with my stuff. I mean, I have like a financial will, like with my business manager stuff. Like, trust me, no one's getting rich. But, you know, it's like, oh, here's my, you know, savings account that can go here and whatever. But The where to put me, I don't fucking know. I really don't. I wrote my sister an email once about what to do with me. It was when I was going to Australia for 3 months. And I was a little nervous. I don't know. I just thought, what if something happens so far away? What if I'm in this cable car thing and it snaps? So I just wrote to her, like, I would like to be cremated and I want these people to get ashes and here's their phone numbers. And then I want someone to sprinkle it here and this person to sprinkle it there, blah, blah, blah. But my mother's concern is who takes the bodies where. So, you know, that was a beautiful conversation. And, you know, I'm really angry. I am trying to do a Christmas episode, but I'm just so angry about this year that I was robbed of and that we all were. I do have it better than most. I certainly do, because I don't have children and I don't have to homeschool. I don't live with roommates, so I don't have to share my space with anyone and I don't have to worry about their health, and I don't live with a partner that could possibly get me sick either and ruin our relationship. I've been able to work from home. I made do with this Patreon, which helped pick up some of the slack from touring. Some of it. I had some writing from home jobs, you know, and I had some lean months, but I was okay. And I also had some really good months. You know, I got to do some cool stuff this year. Certainly wasn't bad at all. I am quite, quite lucky. So, you know, that is my biggest thing, was just the people that I missed out on. Oh, God, I'm boring myself. Anyway, speaking of Patreon, I'd like to give a shout out. I'm just going to shout out every single, not right now. I mean, over the course of the weeks and the months, I'll shout out 10 names per episode. Thank you. Jeff Walters, Jennifer Verbeck, Courtney Julep, Jennifer Paxton, Mandria Landry, Laura Mulligan, Therese Wachowski, or maybe it's Teresa, George Wallace. I don't think the either famous George Wallace. Not a nurse, which I don't think is a name, but that's how they're listed. And Jim Leonard. Thanks for being Patreon subscribers. They're like, oh, fuck, I was just about to cancel my membership. Don't worry, I won't look. If anyone wants to send me an email about things they thought they would do in 2020 and things they obviously did not get to do, and things they never thought they would do in 2020, and they ended up doing them all because of the pandemic. And things you might want to try to do in 2021 if there's any sense of even half normalcy. It won't be read on the New Year's Eve episode, but it'll be read on the first of the year episode, whatever first Wednesday that is of January. So send that along, iseemfun@gmail.com, sometime before the new year would be great. But I am taking 2 fucking weeks off. I am taping this in advance. I will tape the New Year's episode in advance. And then I will have about, 10 to 14 days. Maybe 12, 13 days without having to record and listen to my own voice. Enough with me talking. I mean, oh my God, enough already. What will I do? I will be, so this is my Christmas tradition this year. It's very similar to my Thanksgiving tradition. I ordered a bunch of sides, the fun ones, from Whole Foods. I will be picking them up at 7 a.m. on Christmas Eve day on December 24th, 7 a.m. And I will be reheating like a Julia Child. And I will be having a Christmas Eve dinner by myself. We'll talk to my family. Maybe some FaceTime with the sisters. My parents don't have technology, so phone with them. I'll have a little wine. I'll eat. I will probably watch a DVR'd Hallmark Christmas movie. And what I like to do is that podcast Deck the Hallmark, where three guys watch Hallmark Christmas movies, and I've been on as a guest. I was on as a guest this year. I will watch an episode and then immediately listen to the episode of the podcast where they watched it and see if we had the same moments of like, what the fuck was that? Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I think I'm going to start watching The Crown. I already know that I am, so I don't, by the time, just I don't know what it is. I cannot stand television recommendations, but I'm going to start watching it. I'm interested in watching it. And I thought that might be a good thing to binge like the week between Christmas and New Year's. We'll see how much I get through it. But, or I might not watch something Christmassy. I usually love to watch It's a Wonderful Life, but I feel like it might make me too sad. I don't know. It's my favorite movie of the Christmas season. And, my favorite, it's one of my favorite movies of all time. I just think the acting is so fantastic that Jimmy Stewart, even though George Bailey is a character, I really, really, really find him to be a lot. He's just kind of a victim, you know, and he's got that bravado. I'm going to go around the world. You know, it's always like what he's going to do. He does it at you. You know, the love and joy of going around the world is in him. But it's almost like, I'm going to get, like, you losers, I'm leaving. You know, and he's so mean to Mary. And he never goes anywhere. I know that's the whole point of the movie, that he does for others. But he, you know, listen, it's the whole human saga, right? You want to do well. You want to help others. You want to help your family. You want to live your own life. But he keeps getting called back to do the right thing. You know, something in his own heart goes, I can't leave this town like this. I got to stand up to Mr. Potter. I got to save my father's business. I got to marry Mary. And I guess the whole point is him making peace with it. I guess that's the journey. We don't want him to start there, because then what the fuck is the movie about? A well-adjusted guy? I know. I know. But I just go, God. I hope no one out there is like, that's a kind of man I want. No, because honey, he's going to have to get drunk, try to jump off a bridge, get saved by an angel, and get to see what his life was like if he hadn't have been born in order to appreciate you. Unless that is going to happen as well. You do not want some cranky guy who's like, I don't even want to live in this house. I didn't even want to marry you. I don't like marriage. I'm going around the world. Oh, go around the world. Acts like a dry drunk. You know what I mean? I got big ideas. All right. Anyway. But that movie, the minute it starts rolling, I am already choked up. And then the movie rolls along and there's like nothing to cry about. And then just once we get into Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls. With each and every, it's one of the best crowd scenes, I think, in film, when all of the extras are there giving George the money. The excitement level is really good and it's very authentic looking. And with each person that gives money, his genuine reactions, I'm like, I just don't know if I'll watch it, because it does always kind of remind me of my breakup 4 years ago. My ex and I went, we got all dressed up and we went to see It's a Wonderful Life at the movies, and he'd never seen it. And I felt this weird energy sitting next to him. And I was like, I think he's unhappy and this movie is showing him he wants to break up. Like, I could feel it in my bones. Like, I really could, because that's how well we knew each other. And then the next day was Christmas, and we sat together as though there was a pandemic in pajamas all day doing nothing, just watching DVDs of things that had nothing to do with Christmas, like season one of Maude and Taxi and all this kind of stuff. And then we broke up the next day. He was just like, nope, bye. And I don't mean to oversimplify it like that, but there was just something he couldn't work through and was just like, I'm not happy, bye. And so Christmas, you know, doesn't remind me of the breakup anymore, but there has been a global pandemic. Don't know if you've heard. And everyone's mental health is a little wonky and people are sitting at home alone. And I don't know. I'm sure thoughts will pass through my head of a breakup at Christmas. Sometimes they do. But I don't want to watch anything triggering. You know what I'm saying? Where I go, oh God, that's so sad. So I may not. Maybe I'll watch It's a Wonderful Life after I get the vaccine and a big group of people in March. Who knows? But I've also just loved that movie my whole life, so it really doesn't remind me of anyone except me loving it.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
So anyway, I asked you guys to email me and tell me about your traditions. And so with that, let's move in to the rest of the episode. And I will pull up here your emails that you were kind enough to send to me with all the sordid details of your lives. Oh, I didn't finish saying what I was going to do. Back to me. And then I will probably wear something fun, but not uncomfortable. I've got some elastic waist, reddish, purplish velour pants. They're not even Christmas pants. They're just that color. And yeah. And so then that's Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, more of the same. You know, Christmas Day, will I sit around in pajamas unshowered? I don't know. You know, it's maybe. Christmas Day might just be, we'll just see what happens. It's probably going to be doing a lot of nothing. I do have a couple of friends. For anyone who's like, God, that sounds lonely. I will see people. I will not do any backyard hangs. I'm not, it just, nope, nope, nope. But I have two friends who are like, let's go on neighborhood walks at night and look at the lights, or let's go on a hike in the morning. So I've got three different friends. Oh my God. Actually, four that are willing to do walks. I don't mean to say willing, but that are like, hey, I'm around on Christmas. Do you want to walk? And I'm like, totally. So my regular hiking buddies that I go one-on-one, distanced, double-masked, don't worry. So I will see humans, and I'll probably do a lot of walking. Let's say I walk with a friend at one point. I may even just, So I've got a ton of friends who are sitting home alone as well. And so I think that's the non-sad part, right? I mean, if there was some reason that I was sitting home alone on Christmas and everyone else was doing something, I think it would be really painful. But this doesn't make me sad because I feel like the world is in on it together, you know, except for all of the people that are secretly going to be traveling and not telling me. But I also have some friends that might do a little Zoom hang. So I will have plenty to do and it'll probably go by really fast. And I won't even get to sit around watching TV until the next day. But that's what I have going on. So I don't want anyone to be sad or like, oh my God, she's so lonely. I will probably do more than if I had visited my family. But that's it. Okay, so this is everybody else. Hi, Jen. I'm actually a little excited to be missing a few things. My aunt always has Christmas Eve dinner and always invites some distant relatives who don't participate in the conversation, who I barely know, and this other weirdo who gets drunk and hits on my brother and talks too close. There's no music or ambiance at all. It is so awkward. And my brother and I spend the whole time trying to break the tension. And then after, everyone is like, that was nice, but was it? Merry Christmas, Claire. Oh, there's nothing worse than just like the weirdo people that bring other weird people. I mean, my family and I are very insular. You know, when I read David Sedaris essays, I go, God, that kind of reminds me of my immediate family. Like the past couple of years, we have stopped visiting extended family at Christmas because my sister has a giant Christmas party every year the week before Christmas and they come to that. But we have these uncles that are like, and then I'll see you on Christmas. And we're like, 5 days from now, we just, okay. And they come by like at night after they've visited their kids. And it's like, we're just done at that point. And we're like quiet because we've talked over each other all day long. And just like, oh, hey. And then, you know, they're just like, what are you doing? And, you know, and they're like, oh, no, we're not staying long. We're not going to sit. Can I get you a drink? Oh, no, we're not staying long. And then they stay. And my immediate family and I, we love them, but we're just like, ugh. Or maybe that's just me. But yeah, I mean, that's what my family and I do. My parents come and stay at my sister's house. The whole family gathers there. I play with Mittens. I am going to miss that cat. God damn it. My dad makes a fire. He talks about it for 5 hours. Then he makes one where he sets it all up. And what time do we light it? What time do we light it? What time do we light it? And we watch Elf or Caddyshack sometimes or just whatever's on TV or Hallmark movies. Or my dad always wants to watch that fucking old English version of Scrooge, which is goddamn terrifying. And I know it's not called Scrooge. It's called A Christmas Carol. But yeah, I mean, we just do nothing. And then my parents got into this, let's open all the presents on Christmas Eve thing. And I'm like, no, this is all I would have wanted as a kid. So I say stockings for Christmas Eve. Presents in the morning. But Christmas Eve, let's be totally honest, is so much better than Christmas. There's just that special feeling in the air. Silent night. But there's that special feeling in the air. It's the anticipation and it's the coziness. And the Savior will be born tomorrow. What if I just got super religious and I was like, guys, I need to sing a gospel song I wrote. But I do actually like going to church on Christmas, though I haven't been in years. My family and I, we just gave up on church. But I used to go, I think the last time I went was this quaint little church. Oh my God, talk about New England charm. You got to be kidding me. Oh, it's a wicked old church from like the 1600s or something. There's totally ghosts there. And the 9 p.m. candlelit mass, you hold a little stick candle, and that is the light. I do think they were LED. I don't think it was real flame, although I think it might have been. I can't remember. Yeah, I think it was because it had that paper around it to catch the drip. No, it was great. And even though I hate the song Silent Night when I hear it as a song on the radio, if I am in a church and a choir starts singing it, oh boy, crying from my gut again. I'm always crying on Christmas. Everything makes me cry. I'm an emotional person. And I mean that in a good way. I am just like, I'm such a feeler, thank God. I'm really experiencing life. Anyway. Hi, Jen. This is probably not what many of your listeners want to hear, and it doesn't even answer the question you asked, which was about what's your tradition that's going to be different due to COVID. However, as I'm in Australia, yeah, I know you guys don't have any fucking COVID over there. I'll be doing exactly what I've done every Christmas. I feel so fortunate to live in a country that took COVID seriously, essentially from the outset, and despite a few early alarming blatant disregards for the risks, pulled its head in quickly and listened to the health experts, including going into lockdown or at least severely restricted itself for several months. And now all evidence indicates that we have come out the other side in a much better position than most countries. Will I go out and start shaking hands again or take up licking handrails as a hobby? No, but I do feel comfortable spending quality time with family, friends, and engaging in regular social activity free from the fear of catching COVID. Yes, I understand that I'm not immune, and sometime even with strict international border controls and mandatory quarantine still in place for Australians returning from overseas, there is a chance of an infected person finding their way into society, the odds are extremely slim, so I'm going to reward myself for all the efforts made by me, my family, friends, fellow countrymen and women, and our leaders and healthcare workers over the last 8 months and enjoy Christmas, the holidays, and our summer in general, maybe with more appreciation than ever before. All the best, Steve. I know. You know, the only thing that I don't envy you about is that Australia's in the summer. I just don't understand. I've spent Thanksgiving in Australia before, and it was hot summertime. But, you know, I guess it's sort of like living in LA, where 1 year it was 100 degrees on Christmas. This was 2013, and I think I spent it in a wool sweater at my friend's house. Oh, God. I didn't know it was going to be that hot out. I didn't really look at the weather, and I wore this wool sweater. Really cute sweater otherwise. Had a little owl on it and gold sequins. No big deal. Hi, Jen. I wanted to contribute to the question you asked about what traditions I will miss this year due to COVID. Mine might come as a surprise, but this year I will actually be doing more than I would normally do. My husband grew up Jehovah's Witness and never experienced this holiday and doesn't care about celebrating it because it was never a tradition for him. I got in the habit of just not doing much at all because it's just us two, and I always felt it would be a hassle to go out of my way. Plus, I simply just felt alone in it. My mom always invites us over, but her version is not what I would do. It's too religious and gift-centered, and I don't like that. But last year, walking through a very stylish neighborhood on Christmas Eve, I felt so depressed because of all the decorations that were out and parties happening in other houses that I vowed I would not feel like that again. COVID is not going to stop me from making this year different for a change. So I have fall decorations out. I am taking walks at night in the San Diego locals only spots to see the over-the-top lights and seasonal displays, brewing cider regularly in a crock pot, setting my TV to YouTube fireplace videos while working, burning pine needle candles, and creating weekly self-care rituals where I do my own nails and watch Christmas cheeseball movies and shows. It's going great. Christmas Day will be much of the same with a nice at-home brunch, something decadent like French toast and whipped cream and strong coffee. I just wanted to share. I know this is long, but it's a positive change for me this year, and I thought it might provide an upbeat anecdote. Merry Christmas to you and all the listeners. From Megan. Why would you think I need an upbeat anecdote on an episode that was just me talking about my parents' death and a breakup? Oh, doesn't that sound great? French toast and whipped cream. I just gained another 5 pounds reading your email. Oh, hot apple cider in a crock pot. Yes, please. I love all of this. And then she wrote right back, Jen, dang it. I always forget something per my email about what I'll be doing this year versus last. I wanted to say that my husband is not a Jehovah's Witness anymore as an adult. He was only raised with it as a young kid. I know it's not that important to mention, but it mattered to me that you and your listeners know that. I listened to Leah Remini's podcast too, LOL, and I just needed to make that clear. Okay, bye, Megan. Oh my God, I love that you guys have the same neurosis that I would. Like, oh my God, I think I married someone in a cult. Hi, Jen. This year I'll be working on Christmas Eve, then going to some kind of socially distant thing with the family of a friend. Pretty sure it really will be socially distant since my friend is so paranoid he thinks he has COVID when he has any physical symptoms such as hunger at mealtimes, tiredness at night, or coldness in winter. I'm so excited to finally meet his brother and brother's girlfriend who I've heard so many bad things about. I'm in Spain and here they do the big meal on the 24th around midnight, but it'll be earlier since curfew is 1:30 a.m. that day. I love that that's the curfew. Like, how late was everyone going to be out? Oh, I guess because midnight's the thing. Wait, so when people in Spain stay up all night and then, I mean, you must, right? And then do you sleep late Christmas morning or you just get no sleep? I never knew this. I'm going to have to Google this up. This is great. God, I couldn't live in Spain eating that late at night and drinking wine. That's bad for the reflux. Anyway, New Year's Eve, I'll be mourning the loss of my EU membership since the UK's 2016 bad decision was permanent. Besides, New Year's Eve is nonsense anyway, and I share your concerns about people suddenly acting like everything's okay because the next day has a different arbitrary number attached to it. I don't even seem fun, Jess. Jess, you seem plenty fun, and please be careful at your socially distanced thing in Spain. Dear God, I hope it's outdoors. Wear your mask. I don't know. Am I saying the right things to someone in a different country? Maybe it's different. Maybe it's different. Maybe it's Maybelline. Sorry, I'm still reading. Hey, Jen, the last few years for the holidays, my friends and I have gathered for a combo Thanksgiving Christmas celebration. Someone hosts and makes the dinner entree while everyone else comes with sides. Then after we do a little gift exchange, there's always wine and cheese and fun Christmas music playing. It's so basic and not at all unique, but it's definitely something I've been missing this year. We're planning a virtual coffee date for all of us to get together and chat on FaceTime, but it's not the same. I hope that you and your family are safe and healthy and that we as a country can get our shit together so you can visit Midi again sometime soon. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and all that jazz. Julie. Thank you, Julie. You know, what you've described as basic and not at all unique sounds like heaven. Gifts and wine and cheese. Now, why is that going from that to a coffee hang? Like, can't you have some wine and cheese at your house and then your friend has wine and cheese at her house and then you all get on the thing? Coffee date. I mean, that doesn't sound as fun to me. I'm just saying. If you need help planning, call me. What if I just give out my phone number on air? Anyone need help with their Christmas? Just give me a call. Oh, man. If you guys were Patreon subscribers, you would see my Buffalo check Christmas socks. But, you know, listen. Hey, by the way, everything from 2020 will be up. So even if you join in December, you get like a backlog of so many bonuses and things. So I don't know. I don't know. Why wouldn't you? Hey, Jen, not that you really need me to chime in, but in response to your question about what traditions we're missing this year, for me, it's drinking mulled wine and glowing at the outdoor Christmas markets, both here and abroad. I've made special trips to cities that I know have really cool markets. Chicago is my favorite in the U.S., because it's the closest approximation to the OG German ones that I've encountered on this side of the Atlantic. It's something that I've always taken for granted, and I'm bummed that I'm not able to do that this year, not even locally. I guess I'm compensating this year with a model train, sort of trying to build my own indoor winter wonderland on rails. There's also an Italian restaurant in DC that we've made a tradition out of going to during the holiday season because they decorate the fuck out of that place. This year we got takeout from there while admiring our own decorations. Not really exciting stuff, but it's the goddamn little things I'm missing. Merry Christmas, Jeff. No, see, again, this is the stuff. I love Italian food on Christmas. That is actually what I'll be eating. With my sides is some pasta-y thing. And I love overly decorated Italian restaurants. It's my favorite thing to do when I'm in New York, which is usually where I go to eat dinner. There's like three different places I'll go to. Ah, and I love the Christmas markets. And I'm German. Oh, yeah, gut. And I love all that mulled wine and Glückenglocken. And I like fruitcake. I'm a real fucking, and I look like Sprockets right now. If you see the Patreon, I'm in like black with a beret. I'm not like Nazi German. I'm like just a German. I'm just in Polish and German. Those are my nationalities. In case anyone didn't know, Polish, German, French, Canadian, and English. Dad's side of the family is English and Polish. Mother's side of the family, German and French Canadian. Anyone else? What do you need? The last four of my social. Jen, about beloved Christmas routines. My grandma liked real candles on the tree. Oh, I love, you know, like if you watch Mr. Magoo, Razzleberry dressing, like there's actual candles on the tree. And then there's this frosted window panes, candles gleaming inside, painted candy canes on the tree. Wait, that's not it. Santa's on. I don't know. There's one that's like candles on the tree, or maybe it's whatever. But I almost bought the LED version this year where you clip on what looks like an old-fashioned candle and you put it on the tree because that's what they used to do back then, peeps. Santa's on his way. He's filled his sleigh with things, things for you and for me. It's that time of year when the world falls in love. What if you turn off your family's Christmas music and just play that? Go, guys, I have a really, really amazing Christmas album to put on. You should do it. Okay, so someone's going to do this right now if they're with their partner or immediate family that you already live with. No one who traveled is allowed to have any fun. Go, I have this Christmas album I want to play. So then I'm going to pause right now. And this is when you're going to go, I really love it. It's this new artist. She's amazing. And then I'm just going to sing like two bars of something and you're going to watch their faces. Okay, so let's pick a song that we can do this. Guys, I want you to watch this. I'm going to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Okay. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph. From the jingle bell, jingle bell, it's a mashup, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride, have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be rocking around the Christmas tree. Have a happy holiday, happy holiday, happy holiday, while the merry okay. That's enough of that. So that was a joke. Anyway, sorry. My grandma liked real candles on the tree. There were little tin clips and small white candles along with all the ornaments. The candles only got lit on Christmas Eve in a ritual, a satanic blood ritual. I'm kidding. They had six kids and almost 20 grandkids at that point. On Christmas Eve, every one of us got a glass of water so we could douse anything if it came to it. That's so cute. The candles we lit as we sang, oh, Christmas tree. Oh, oh, Tannenbaum, oh, Tannenbaum. It almost brings a tear to my eye right now. It was solemn seeing the twinkling warm lights. I've done it before with my friends and I hope to do it again. I would totally cry. As I mentioned, I cry a lot. It seemed like a holdover from an olden time with fewer guardrails to experience a little tiny danger. Being trusted and responsible to take care of the tree, it's quite an old tradition. By the way, if I go through my ornaments this year and I rummage a box of random souvenirs and collectibles nearby, I've got to find my B-52's fan club postcard with their autographs, because I understand you were also a member. My best to you, Jill. Jill, I was not a member of the B-52's fan club. That was another listener of mine. I forget who it was. I think it was a gay Gen X man, if I remember. I don't know why I remember that. Hi, Jen. We usually wake up early, go for a walk in the Royal Botanic Gardens here in Melbourne, have smoked salmon and scrambled eggs for breakfast and open some presents, then catch a tram right across the city to spend Christmas lunch at a friend's house with copious wine, games, and prawns. This is so Australian. I love it. This year, we won't do any of that, even with cases almost non-existent in Melbourne now. The gardens will be full of people, and we have a garden of our own, so we will let people without gardens enjoy the public outdoors. That's so nice. I'm not getting on a tram, mask or no mask, and a group lunch, even with the patio doors open, doesn't seem like a good idea. So we will make our own lunch, cuddle our dogs, watch Hallmark movies, and take a nap. Not terribly sad about it. Loved the Christmas show and hoping you have a beautiful Christmas. Greer. Oh, thank you, my love. You Australians, there weren't enough of you to make me famous, but I could have been living there by now. I was trying to move there. I was trying so hard to get out of this fucking country with these dumbass fucks who I knew were going to fuck it up by not wearing masks during a pandemic. I saw this coming. Thanks, Greer. Hey, Jen, love the D.B. Cooper doc you're talking about. Oh, wait. As for what I'll be doing for Christmas, that would be absolutely nothing. By myself, probably binging a show. I am the person in my group that you were talking about on Twitter, off the text chain. Honestly, I am happy I am not on it. I would find myself with constant eye rolls and getting annoyed. Better for everyone. But that is what bugs me. I am hanging by myself because people don't get it and think they're being good. More aggravating when it is actual friends. They claim to be following the rules, but somehow still see each other a fair amount. Been listening to the pod since forever, and to me, it sounds better than ever. Oh, thank you. Have a good holiday, Tony A. Tony, you're doing the right thing. You're saving your own life, saving the lives of others, not overwhelming the hospital system. And I'm telling you, we're all going to start a club called Off the Text Chain, or off just off the chain, and we're all going to meet up for a drink in 2022. Everyone in their friend group was the one that didn't go anywhere. We're all going to get together. Oh my God, it's almost time to wrap this episode up. Hi, Jen. If you're still looking for Christmas traditions missed this year, what I'm saddest about is just not being able to see friends. I'm from Massachusetts, but I live in Santa Fe, and Christmas is usually the only time of year that I go home. Usually my family will pick me up from the airport, Logan, oh my God, Logan, and go straight to a brewery we love, or to dinner in the north end of Boston. That's the Italian section. Great food. I love meeting up with friends and drinking hot beverages while looking at lights and catching up from the past year. It's simple, but I really appreciate those times with my loved ones. I know this isn't forever, but it does make me a little sad. On the other hand, I feel like this pandemic and all the extra time has led to myself and my family resurrecting random Christmas traditions that we don't normally do anymore. I've been having fun making popcorn on the stove and adding fun sweet or savory flavors. My dad set up our ancient electric train set and my job at a brewery. You keep saying brewery as if this is a thing in Boston. Is this a thing now? I don't know. Oh, you're in Santa Fe. Had a very fun socially distanced tree decorating contest outside in lieu of their annual Christmas party. If I'm being honest, I think I like the tree decorating more than a party, and they plan to do it again next year. I also feel less pressured to buy presents, and if I am, I'm making them count. Also, I love your white tree, and I was glad to finally see your dysfunctional Christmas show this year. Hopefully one day I'll be able to see it in person. Cheers, Katie. Thank you, Katie. Merry Christmas to you, and I just realized I can't easily say the word brewery. Same with the word roar, R-O-A-R, roar. Jen, the one tradition we have that I will miss is going to the movies on Christmas Day. Short and sweet. Have a good day. Thanks, Penelope. Yeah, I never got into that tradition. I don't hate it for other people, but I don't like to go anywhere on Christmas. I don't even want to shower. Not that you have to shower to go to the movies. I think it would be nice, though. Hi, Jen. My Christmas tradition that is ruined is being able to see my grandfather and my family and being with them and having a gift exchange where I receive shitty gifts. Also, Christmas shopping, because it's amazing to go and buy presents for the people I want to gift. Alan. Well, at least take comfort in the fact that you don't have to pretend you like any shitty gifts. I mean, right? Jen, this is my first Christmas alone. I'm away from home in Canada in Davis, California for grad school. I'm going to miss board games with my family the most, and my sister making my aunt extra strong drinks to get her tipsy to liven up the party. I think I may be that aunt, by the way. I am also an aunt. You guys are like, yeah, we know you're old. I've been an aunt since I was 12, though, so it doesn't mean I'm old. This year, I will be enjoying Swedish banana casserole for Christmas dinner as a new tradition because I love it, and I've only ever convinced one person to try it. Take care and Merry Christmas, Rylan. I would like some of that banana casserole. It kind of sounds good. I don't know what that is, though. I don't know what's in it. Is it like a noodle and banana casserole, or is it all sweets? Hi, Jen. Oh, this one is a weird recipe one. Get ready. This is, I don't know if anyone ever sees like people on Twitter making fun of white people food. I mean, this is some white people. This is crazy town. Hi, Jen. Christmas is going to be different this year for a number of reasons. The biggest one being that I lost my mom to cancer in August, and I'm so sorry. So this will be my first Christmas without her, made even more challenging by not being able to have a family get together with my siblings thanks to COVID. Even so, I'm determined to have the best celebration that I can and honor her memory in the process. Oh. One of the ways in which I'll be including mom in my Christmas dinner, I'm hosting the two friends who are in my bubble, is by making her infamous three-layer Jell-O salad. I know Jell-O salad of any kind sounds ghastly, but it has been an annual tradition at the Christmas dinner for as long as I can remember. I think the recipe actually dates back to the early 1950s. The bottom layer is green Jell-O mixed with pineapple, canned, not fresh. The middle layer is yellow Jell-O mixed with cream cheese. And this is all topped with red Jell-O mixed with sliced bananas. My friends shudder when I tell them we serve this with the main course, and yet we devour it every single year. It ain't Christmas dinner in our family without that Jell-O salad. So I would totally eat that, by the way. So I'm making it for the first time this year, hoping that mine turns out half as good as my mom's did. As for new traditions, 2020 marks the year that I finally bought one of those inflatable T-Rex suits and have been putting it to good use, having fun in the pandemic. For the holiday season, I've dressed things up with a Santa hat and have taken on a new persona. The singing Tyranna Santa, lip syncing to popular Christmas tunes. Tyranna Santa has recently been joined by a fellow inflatable, a Christmas tree known as the Amazing Ballerina, who provides some pretty kick-ass backup dancing. We've been performing, busking, raising money for the local food bank at various spots around town. But on Christmas Eve, we're going to go, quote, caroling in the local neighborhood and hope to spread a bit of joy as people watch safely from their porches and driveways. Either that or we'll get arrested, which would also make for a new Christmas tradition. Heather from Salt Spring Island, British Columbia, Canada. Oh my God. That's so cute. Wow, I'm really inspired by all your creativity, everybody, in terms of like coming up with new things to do and things that involve having a really good spirit and making effort. It's really heartening. This is, we'll end it with a complaint about COVID. Hi, Jen, you are literally the only person I know of who has been taking the pandemic as seriously as me, and we don't even know each other. I'm not joining my family for Christmas, even though it is a limited group of five, because I know it will be indoors, and although they say we can wear masks if I want, it just seems insane to me to risk it. They are still going to church where very few are wearing masks and are still singing together indoors. I have a super awesome smart friend who just told me she is going to stay for a couple days in one house with her extended family of nine who are gathering from across the country and three peeps flying in from Europe. What the fuck? Another friend who is a chemist, so seems to be smart about germs, etc., asked if we could do a work from home together at our house this week. No. Again, what the fuck? This will be the first Christmas ever after 19 years that my partner and I will be spending together. So far, that I am actually... So for that, I am incredibly excited. I really think everyone I know has just been lying about what they think and what they actually do because of convenience and normalcy and because we all hate Zoom and house party chats. I do not seem fun lately, but I wanted to vent to you just what you wanted, I'm sure. It actually is. Thanks for all you do. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Your gay Gen Xer fan in Tennessee, Justin. Justin may even be the one who's in the B-52's fan club, which weirdly enough. I love it. Let's end the episode on a rant. And I love that it wasn't my own because you've heard enough of me. Again, thank you all. There will be another new episode, the last one of 2020, next week, December 30th. Thanks for tuning in. Again, send an email about what you didn't get to do in 2020, but maybe something new that you did. iseemfun@gmail.com and join that goddamn Patreon, patreon.com/JenKirkman. That would be the best Christmas present that you could fucking give me. I swear to God. I swear to God it is. And until next week, have fun.